terms of receiving poetry, I just heard a quote that might be helpful. I like it. It's not, I don't think that this quote is always true, but in the case of receiving poetry, I think it really is. It's from the poet Mark Nepo. Have you heard of him? Yeah, he says, "The mind is a net, but the heart is a sponge." So you don't have to catch everything that I'm saying content-wise. You can see what gets absorbed. There we go. Hello. Should I keep going? Okay. So yeah, so allow the content of the poetry to fall through the net, and then what lands in the heart and gets absorbed can stay. Stop with me. Stop. Stop working. Stop trying to stop working. Stop trying. Stop being lazy. Stop searching for meaning. Stop landing anywhere. Stop acting confused. Stop. Stop locking up your mysteries. Let me in. Stop rearranging the surface features of your life. Stop thinking deep is deep. Stop thinking blood is red. Stop hoarding the blood-red wisdom unborn in you. There's got to be a better way. Do you love me? Stop loving me. Stop unloving me. Stop tearing me apart. Stop with me. Let's stop together. 6 seconds. Ready, set, stop. Now let's stop together forever and let the stopping go. Blush. And you can leave the door cracked for people to come in if they want to. You can leave the door open. Blush. I must begin with what I really want. I want to let the mess be. I want you to show me your world. I want to push the weight of my real body into your world and feel the impact. I want to show you my naked electric power and watch you fall to your knees in worship. Enter my kingdom so I may be peopled with life. Show me the one in you that makes me shimmer between fear and awe. Give me the white heat of loss to carve me down. Trip me over traps I've set to remind me this is just a dream. Pain, come reveal again, this dream is also real. Dreams be each night of Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, and wake me to a new mind. I want to train your perception to encounter how achingly erotic that tree being swayed by the breeze is. I want to train your breath to move that holy arousal into your true purpose and aim it like an arrow at my lies. I want you to shut up and come close and let me taste your tears. So my name is Brooke McNamara, and I have been writing poems since I was a little girl. I remember my first poem I wrote when I was in fifth grade about my pet bird, Bart. And I just was so curious if he experienced his cage as keeping him trapped or keeping him safe. I really had this like existential inquiry about my bird, and I wrote a poem about it, and that satisfied something, helped me make some kind of meaning out of this question I had. And the rest is history. I got a degree in it, and then I stopped for a while, and then I had a baby, and then having childbirth, I think, opened my being to a creative channel where I had to write to make some kind of meaningfulness out of the profound experience of childbirth and motherhood. And I write poetry, I think, from three main ingredients. One is just the raw material of everyday life. So the content often is just so ordinary. The second ingredient is a wholehearted, embodied listening. And what does that mean? To me, that means feeling the landscape of raw sensation, not as something to transcend or clear or clean out, but the landscape of raw sensation as the language of intuition. And to feel into the raw sensation in this moment and to find a luminous emptiness like a vein pulsing through it and penetrating it, even the densest and most intense kind of sensation. And the language, I long for some reason to unlock the language that that sensation of being in these bodies, in this world, and all its awkwardness and glory, what does that sensation want to say in human form? And it's this, or in human language. I love the impossibility that I can't do that. I can't do that. Like Raymond Moody was saying, it feels like there's a, what did he call it? Not ineffable, but the third thing, not true, not false, but it was like ineffable. Basically, you can't speak it. Something like that. Anyway, this I realize it's an impossibility, so it's a koan that I can never quite penetrate, and yet I'm drawn to keep trying to translate raw sensation into a language that creates meaningfulness and inspiration and both sanity and madness that gives life for me. And then the third ingredient, so it's the raw material of everyday life, wholehearted, embodied listening to that raw sensation. And then the third ingredient is the mind of meditation. And in the practice, the tradition I practice in, the great Zen master Dogen says, enlightenment is intimacy with all things. So to me, the mind of meditation is intimacy with all things. So one with and close with. It's kind of fun to just throw them on the ground. I'm just finding which ones feel like they want to be read. Okay. Avalokiteshvara, she's the bodhisattva or goddess of compassion. This is called Avalokiteshvara. This poem is listening. This poem is listening. In that sense, it is open. Each word is the surface veil of a tunnel of listening with no end or origin. It receives the things we think we hide, the shine of awkward posture when performing power, the fervid care too vulnerable to share, hiding under small talk. It hears the size of your 50 trillion cells living lucidly under your selfing, and it absorbs your gossip also. Give it the headlines of the day and the ache to fix it all. Give it the story of your little you and all the elaborate plans. give the kingdom and the ash. Give the secret crisis that pierces the center of all us creatures here on earth. These tenderized hearts, wise to the verity of incipience and loss. Say your full, formal name and expect no echo. Say yes to yourself and listen to the listening, listening. Circumscribe. Does everyone know what circumscribe means? To draw a circle around? Yeah. So this is called circumscribe, based on a real dream I had. I dreamed that I was, it's such a cool dream. I dreamed that I was walking around town and I was just finding random things of beauty. And I was a graffiti artist, and I was drawing like a Zen Enzo around them. I was circumscribing like weeds coming up through the sidewalk, or anything that was ordinary and beautiful, I would just draw a circle around it. And my graffiti artist name was Circumscribe with a capital S. So I was the scribe circumscribing beauty. I thought it was such a poetic dream. Circumscribe. I once was a graffiti artist, up all night hunting and circling scenes of random beauty. I'd tag my name underneath, circumscribe. It was a dream. It came from infinity. It landed in my marrow. It made my bones light. It reminded me, the last time I died, I was born Brooke Julia Gesse, October 9th, 1981, and the gap between is the gap happening now. It reminded me, I was born with a vow so central it can't be seen, beating my heart, and my job is to live it to certain death. It reminded me, we must feed our vows with our very own flesh. It reminded me, circle beauty. Move bones by moving the gap inside the marrow. It reminded me, it's not all going to be okay. But it already is, but I must make it so. It reminded me of the hours I failed at birthing in the bardo between night and day, and how I gave up trying, so bewildered by terror and intensity, until that thin veil appeared between this world and what's under it. That darkness unfathomably full, and the silent voice sounded everywhere and nowhere, are you willing to die for this? And I yowled the yes that changes everything while pushing a planet down and out my pelvis, and a big bang, different but similar, ripped through my throat with a violent ultraviolet light. It reminded me, there are resources we cannot conceive of, and we find them in the asking, if the asking is alive enough to annihilate and reorganize our current selfing for something better at love. It reminded me, I see you bravely meeting what is yours alone to meet. Are you willing to die for this? Feed your vow and eat it and offer it away. Circumscribe. I'm just wondering how much time I have left. 5 more minutes? Okay. Okay, this is a new unpublished poem. Those so far have been from my first book, Feed Your Vow. This is a new one. And I would say most of my poems are things that I need to hear, so I write them to myself. And with the many demands of motherhood, I needed to hear this beginning of this poem, and then I don't know where the second half came from. But then my grandmother died, and my mom came to visit, and I gave this poem to my mom, and it turned out to be the poem that my mom needed. So the first half is what I needed from my mothering, and the second half is what my mom needed for losing her mother. Did you track that? It's kind of a cool double gift. And it's called Break. Rest now. Let the weight you run from every day now draw you down. Later, there will be time to tend to everything left undone. Now, rest. Fall into your own bones, lying horizontal on this bed. Come into your dark corners. Come into this original nakedness under all the layers. Come where all your losses split you open. Don't rise yet. Rest. Be drawn deeper down into the salt tide of tears. Let grief wash you, then drown you beyond the name you first were given when you reached to touch your own mother's face for the very first time, and she smiled her light down into you. Now reach those same fingers for the face of infinity, so that, opening your eyes, you will know the one dreaming you is pleased with you, that everything seen is yourself, and that now is the time to rise wholehearted into the work, aching to be animated by precisely you. Do I have time for one more? Is it okay to do one more?
Yes.
One more, okay. I think all of my poetry can go under the classification of practice, meditation practice, or motherhood. So here's a motherhood one. It's called, I Want That Goose to Be a Tree. Yesterday, I picked up my 2-year-old son from his first day of preschool, drenched in some post-play euphoria I had never yet seen. His tiny eyes opened to the joyride of finger paint, lunchboxes, and songs. But halfway home, his bliss crested and plunged into a huge new grief, which he wailed and howled out from his car seat behind me. Look at that huge goose right there, I offered for distraction as we drove past the waddling flock. I want that goose to be a tree, he cried. What did you just say? I want that goose to be a tree, as sorrowful and stricken as you can imagine. I felt for him, of course, his world overwhelmed, breaking and opening with the onset of school. But also, I thought, how creative, how wonderfully, deeply creative. I want that goose to be a tree? Yes, I'd never thought of it, but that desire is fully available. And what else? I want this poem to pour me a glass of red wine. And I want this poem to become a glass of red wine. I want this to be your wine, or whatever beverage you long for most right now. And I want this sentence to hand it to you and watch soulfully while you stop everything to simply drink. To drink and know that your hands can be birds and your eyes were once telescopes. And the one you dream about lives locked inside you in a gesture you just haven't performed yet. But that tree could teach it to you if you sat and listened long enough. If you let your heart suddenly touch and sound its held wail for the truth that everything is always changing and breaking and opening. That our drinks together here are almost done. Thank you so much for your attention. I'm gonna pass it back to Steve. Thank you so much. Sure, you can clap it, whatever you want. Thank you.